Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Okay, we settle down a little bit here. Would like to request the devotees to please come forward here in the main temple courtyard, and we will hear recollections and memories. We're very fortunate that we had here with us some of the disciples, Srila Prabhupada's disciples, who are here during that very momentous event, that special moment when they installed the deities of Sisi Gornitai, Sisi Kanabalaram, and Sisi Radhashyama Sundar. We're very fortunate that now we are receiving the fruits of that event. And right now, we're going to somehow go back 38 years ago. How was it like to be here 38 years ago? That very, very big day where Prabhupada is very happy and proud to have a special mandir here. Specifically says that the mandir here are for the foreigners to study Krishna consciousness. So, would like to hear first, would like to request from His Holiness Kesava Bharati Maharaj to please speak first, and then it will be followed by His Grace Satcha Narayan Prabhu. And then we'll be hearing from His Grace Gunainava Prabhu, and then from Her Grace Kishori Mataji. These are very, very special devotees that are here. They witness that special program, opening of the temple and the installation of the deities. So we'll go back 38 years ago. How was it like to be here? So use your imagination. Also would like to invite some of the senior devotees. We have comfortable seats here. We'll be here till around 10 o'clock this morning. So plenty of seats here. Soft sofa if you have a problem with your back.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Om Jnanati Midandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Mukam karurivachalam pangam longkoyate girim yat kripa tamaham bande shigurun dinatharanam. Nama om Vishnu padaya Krishna pristaya bhutale shimate bhaktivedanta swami iti namine. Namaste Saraswati deve gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarane Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Pipa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavindaki. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Matsamo nasti papatma, napadadi nakaschana, pari hare pilajjame, kimbruve purushottama, yuvatinam tata yuni, yunam cha yavatavyata, mano birvite tadvam, mano me, Ramatam Twayi. Bhumau skalitapadanam bhumireva valambanam toyi jatapadanam tvam eva sharanam prabho. Govinda balabe radhe prarthye tamaham sada tudiyam iti janatu govindo mam tvaya saha. Radhe vrindavanadi she karunamritavahini kripaya tavapadabja dasyam mayam pradiyatam. Hare Krishna. So I feel deeply humbled and at the same time honored to be asked to speak at such an inconceivably important day for all of us here in Krishna Balaram Mandir. On this holiest of days, the appearance of Lord Ramachandra, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, the day in which Srila Prabhupada's intense desire to have a temple in Vrindavan became fructified. I'm speaking in front of some of my senior God brothers and God sisters, and I apologize for that. Please forgive me. This is my duty. I've been asked to do this. I would rather be just sitting down and hearing. That's what I came to do. So I will mainly defer to the devotees who were here and who were in the front of the action. That's right. I was in the background, more or less, for different reasons. You know, Lord Ramachandra came to display the perfect human life. He did this by crossing unsurmountable obstacles. He was asked just as a young boy to go and confront demons that were extremely powerful. He had to be separated from his loved ones and his cherished duty of being the perfect king for so many years in exile. He had to tolerate the separation from his eternal consort for too long. He had to go and destroy the most evil influence in the world at that time, Ravana, who represents the demonic elements in this material world. And he had no army. He was just with his, you know, brother and in the forest. So he took help from some forest monkeys. Of course, we know they weren't ordinary forest monkeys. And vanquished evil and reunited his energy with himself. And even after all of that, when they were properly situated as the king and queen of Ayodhya and the earth and the universe, due to the gramyakata of some lower class person, he was forced to show the example of a perfect king and send his eternal consort into exile. This is the story of the perfect human being maintaining his duty and his loyalty and his religious principles as the perfect king under all circumstances. So one may externally think that Srila Prabhupada chose this day to open this temple for reasons that will be elaborated on by those who were there for the years leading up to the opening of the temple and who know the details. I don't. I will defer to them. But I think that at least it was arranged by the Supreme Lord that this day be the day that we all come together every year and celebrate this event so that we can remember the perfect devotee, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, my eternal spiritual master. He also crossed many obstacles, and we may say because it was so difficult to get this temple ready for the installation and the opening that it kept being postponed and postponed and postponed and finally ended up in this day. But just see how perfect. Just as he appeared the day after Janmashtami, you know, so that we could have Vyasa Puja, his Vyasa Puja every year, right after the celebration for the appearance of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada's appearance, his activities, everything he did was not ordinary. Deep messages, deep influence, deep realizations come from contemplating his pastimes. As I said in the beginning, I wasn't in the front of this epic endeavor. Guru Nanak Prabhu was. When I found out he was here, that's why I'm here. When I found out he was here and I was invited to come, then I had to come, having not seen him for such a long time. And remembering him as one of the most good-natured persons I've ever met. I came in the 747 from America with a whole bunch of devotees, most of whom were coming to India for the first time. We touched down in Calcutta, then called Calcutta, and proceeded to attend the first major. There was 1974 was also major, but it wasn't like 1975. 1975 was the first major Gaur Purnim festival, and of course, as is natural, we all got, after the ecstasy of being there healthy, we all got sick. And then we accompanied Srila Prabhupada down to Hyderabad, and they put us up in a construction site, and we were drinking out of, you know, metal barrels, drums, you remember? Who knows what we were drinking? You know, no one was so experienced at doing these things at that time. So by the time I got here, and it was late in the year also, it was April, and it was hot, hotter than blazes for us. Of course, now we're a little bit accustomed after all these years in living in the Holy Dham. So by the time I got here, I was just more or less under the carpet, and at the same time being tested by His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Vishnujan Swami to see if I was had the mettle to join the Radha Damodar TSKP, still being in white. Me and Kavi Chanda were the only ones in white. You cannot imagine what that was like. But I have two, so I was like mostly in the back. I don't know the details, but I have two experiences I'd like to share of those days just before the temple opened and the day the temple opened. It was a morning walk, and by that time the local authorities were a little hesitant to come on the morning walk with Prabhupada. That can be confirmed by my dear God brother, because Prabhupada was like a warrior. He was like seeing everything, and he was making sure that all the managers knew everything that they were doing wrong and everything that needed to be done to make this temple perfect. So I was on the morning walk, and just before we got to the front, because you know there was a fountain in the front at that time, and we were just coming up to the fountain, we were walking, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj handed me his danda for some reason. Well, the danda was about this big around and probably weighed, I don't know, well, I knew how much it weighed. He handed it to me, and it was like I was just very, you know, thin and sick. I got a picture of me in that walk in my office, my room, and I looked about like was about this thin. I looked like I could barely hold up myself, what to speak of this danda that probably weighed more than me. And we were walking out. Giriraj Maharaj was there, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there, Dhananjaya Prabhu was there. Yadubar Prabhu was there. Satsvarup Maharaj was there. And then there's this little skinny character was also there trying to hold this big, you know, heavy. Later on they all got thin ones because it was a lot more practical. But then, so we were walking along and Prabhupada cast a glance at Tamal Krishna Maharaj and then looked at me. I don't know I can't read Prabhupada's mind, but Tamal Krishna Maharaj immediately took his danda back. I don't know whether he was trying to tell Tamal, what are you being so lazy for? Or whether he was telling me, what are you doing? Whatever he was doing, it was intense. So then we started to walk out past the fountain, and Prabhupada looked over in the corner. There wasn't the samadhi, there was just a fence, a wall at the time, corner over here. And there were some, I guess you could call it refuse from the decorating of the temple. You know, broken banana leaves and this and that and the other things, so many things. Prabhupada stopped. He looked, pointed his cane, and he said, "What is that?" And we were all frozen. We were looking at each other. None of the managers were there by design. And nobody really said anything. And, you know, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. That was me. Fool, number one. Prabhupada said, "Just see. Every morning you chant, Shingara tan mandir marjana do. And you still don't know that this is also the temple?" And then somebody said, I think Dhananjaya said, somebody said, "Prabhupada, it's the refuse from the, we'll clean it up." Prabhupada was not hearing anything. You could hear a pin drop. We were all completely quiet. And then the fool opened his mouth. That's me. Srila Prabhupada turned around. "What? Oh my God. Now I'm going to have to say something." And I said, "Srila Prabhupada, It seems that you're the only one among us who can see everything all the time. What are we to do? And he took his cane and he lifted it and he pointed it at me, and it was this far from touching my chest. I was going to, move up so it would touch my chest so I could get some extra special mercy, but it wasn't to be. I couldn't. And then he said, yes, therefore, you must follow your Guru Maharaj. That went in deep. That went in deep. So we proceeded on the walk, and in those days there was nothing. Around here there was nothing. It was just an open road. Fields and an open road. And we took our walk, we came back. Giriraj had a report about the land dispute in Bombay, that strip of land that somebody was trying to take away from us. And he was giving all these extremely piercing management, brilliant ideas about what to do and how to deal with it. And everybody was extremely attentive. So that moment was especially meaningful for me personally, but it also captured, I think, the mood that was there at the time, and just how important opening this temple was to Srila Prabhupada. Then the day came for the installation, and we had a procession. You may have seen pictures of that procession on the cover of Lokanath Maharaj's book on festivals. There's a picture there of Prabhupada walking, and yours truly is just about that far away from Prabhupada with my head down chanting like a madman, or hoping to. But just a few minutes before that, Prabhupada was riding on a big cart. They had put him on a big cart. But Prabhupada didn't want to ride in the cart. He got down on the ground. And as soon as he got down on the ground, everyone came to try to touch his feet at once. So you can imagine what chaos that was. So immediately, those who were leading, they had us all grab arms like this. Do you remember this? Yeah. And we made like a human kind of chain to keep people from coming and crushing Prabhupada, because it easily could happen. It happens all the time in India. So we were going, like this, And sometimes we were closer to Prabhupada, sometimes we were farther away from Prabhupada, like that. It was like a human chain, rope gang. And I remember distinctly, I don't have a memory for so much detail, I wish I did. I know that Gunanava does, and he'll bless us with so many detail, but I can tell you something about emotion. That's who I am. That's what I remember. And I remember distinctly when, because it was a chaotic situation, very noisy and very, Indian style chaos. So it was like tumultuous sound and tumultuous talking and tumultuous confusion at that moment when Prabhupada just decided spontaneously to step on the ground rather than ride on the cart, because one of the reasons it was decided he would ride on the cart was so he'd be protected from this very thing. And there was no plan, to protect him. It was all spontaneous. Now I remember when you were a little bit farther away from Prabhupada, the atmosphere was very chaotic, like being in a hurricane. And as you came closer to Prabhupada and closer to Prabhupada, the atmosphere became more peaceful, more tranquil, more peaceful, until I was standing right next to Prabhupada and there was absolutely no disturbance. I felt like I was underneath Govardhan Hill standing with Krishna in the midst of that, downpour. It's described that underneath the hill, the devotees, they couldn't even perceive what was going on outside by the arrangement of Krishna. And then we would be moved by the crowd and by the, situation farther away from Prabhupada. And again, it would become more and more chaotic, more and more, until you were in a hurricane. And then again, we were in the eye of the hurricane, and it was completely peaceful and tranquil. That's who Srila Prabhupada was. He was emanating ecstasy, spiritual ecstasy, constantly. So whenever you came in his presence, whoever you were, whatever you thought you were, you tasted something very, very special. So I spoke much longer than I had planned. I only planned to talk for 2 or 3 minutes, and I want to hear and I want to defer sincerely. I want to defer to those who can remember, who have the detailed intelligence to remember details and put us even more into meditation on those days. So again, I thank you very much for inviting me, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Ram Namami ki jai. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Shri Gorni Thai, Shri Shri Valcham Sunda Lalita Vishaka ki jai. Samabeda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Keshava Bharati Maharaj ki
jai. Thank you for emphasizing Prabhupada seeing everything during those days, and I'm really sure that still Prabhupada seeing things right now, and hopefully we're coming up to the mark, up to how he would see things the way it should be. I would like to request His Grace Satyanarayan Prabhu to please give us some of these recollections in those days.
Namah Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nevase Shashunivari Paschatya Deshitarane. Ram Lakshman Janaki Devalo Hanumanaki Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. I actually was not here for the opening of the Krishna Balaram Mandir. I was here 18 months before the opening, in about February or so of 1974. And it was just a nice little vignette that I wanted to share, a little picture that I wanted to share of that time. Of course, there was no temple here. There was a construction site, and there were a lot of concrete pillars and construction tents, and at the same time, it was a very special time, very quiet. And I felt so much sincerity coming from my god brothers and god sisters who were trying so hard to please Srila Prabhupada. In the mornings at that time, we were actually staying at the Fogel Ashram. There was really nowhere else to stay. And in the mornings we would kind of run over, as you know, it's a little ways down, but we'd run to the temple, not to the temple, we would run to the construction site, to the only place that was finished, which was, of course, Srila Prabhupada's room. And Srila Prabhupada was here at that time. So we would run and finally we would run past the pathway, we would come up, and as Keshavarti Maharaj said, there was really nothing here, just it was truly a Vrindavan. It was a forest, and we had a construction site within that area. So we'd run up and we'd run, finally got here, we'd run past the pillars with all the rebar coming out in crazy directions, the iron to reinforce the foundation. And then we'd finally make it to Srila Prabhupada's room, and then we would feel we made it home. When Prabhupada would give his lectures, and there were only, I don't know, 10 of us in the room, or so one day we had come in the morning and Srila Prabhupada was speaking, and about, I'd say, 10 minutes into his class, he looked behind us and he gave this huge smile. So we all turned around, and who did we see but George Harrison and Ravi Shankar, the famous sitarist. And it was clear from Srila Prabhupada's smile that it was like his son had come, Hari's son. He actually had come, and there was, I could see there was a really special relationship. And George, of course, didn't disappoint in my concept. He immediately came up and sat right in front of Srila Prabhupada in a lotus posture, and took out his bead bag, and he was listening, but he had his hands in his bead bag, and he was focused on Prabhupada. And I remember, in contradistinction or in opposition to that, was Ravi Shankar, who kind of, he had shades on, I remember, and he sat in the back, and I don't know how to interpret that, but there was a clear difference in the interest and perhaps even the understanding of where he was. And what I recall is that Srila Prabhupada, after the obvious pleasure that he was feeling, he just went right back into his lecture, but I remember that he did say a few things about one should give everything to Krishna. And with George there, that meant something. And the class went on, and I think it ended a little early, and Srila Prabhupada motioned for Gurudas to bring some prasadam, to bring prasadam for them. And but George said, I don't think he had prasadam. He said, but Prabhupada, we want to go see the Yamuna. They had come in, I guess, in an ambassador car, and they wanted to see the Yamuna River. And it's interesting that at that exact time, it seemed that George, from what I recall, he saw Yamuna, Devidasi, who was there also sitting, but she was standing at that time. And I recall George kind of running over and giving her a kiss on the cheek, because they had a very sweet relationship. Of course, they had been the main characters in putting together the famous Radha Krishna temple album, which became so famous in England. So we had a very sweet relationship, and I remember looking over at Srila Prabhupada, like, what would he think, George kissing Yamuna? But he just gave this sweet, grandfatherly-like smile. And then I recall they respectfully, there was a kirtan, and then they left to see the Yamuna. And upon reflection of that, I just thought that here we were on this very simple construction site, actually 18 months before the opening. There was a big hole there, but there wasn't that much evident yet. And then there was just Prabhupada's small little house. But here we were, there was possibly one of the most famous people on the entire planet at that time, at the peak of their fame, the Beatles. And George Harrison could have been anywhere he wanted and been doing anything, but he decided to come to this simple construction site, and next to him was sitting the truly greatest personality on the planet at the time, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. And here we were so fortunate to be amongst these personalities, and our only qualification is that we were kind of at the right place at the right time to witness this. And I saw this love between them. It was very sweet. And I even got a little envious that I wish I had some of that. But that's how it was back then. There was a great sweetness. And I saw that Srila Prabhupada, along with the concrete foundation, he was laying a spiritual foundation for this temple. And, of course, this is an internationally important temple, so he was actually laying the foundation for the entire movement through the building of this Krishna Balaram temple. So I just wanted to share that. And I think every one of you are also just as fortunate now to be here for this wonderful festival. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi. Hari Hari Bo.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, His Grace Satyanarayan Prabhu. So now, we'd like to request His Grace Gunayanava Prabhu to please tell us more of what happened on that very special day.
Hare Krishna. How is everyone this morning? It's very important. Actually, the whole audience here, the devotee audience, is more important than myself. Because if the audience wants to hear, then Krishna, within my heart, will allow me to speak something. So, Shravanam Kirtanam, this is congregational. It's congregational chanting. Just like we go out onto the street and we chant Hare Krishna. This is also congregational because there is a big congregation here. I'm speaking, you are hearing. So, realistically speaking, who am I? Who am I? Who is this individual? This individual, according to Bhagavad Gita, is 1/10,000th tip of a hair in size. And I'm simply using these instruments, this external manifestation, to communicate. And this morning, what I'm endeavoring to communicate is to talk and share with you all the most wonderful pastimes that one could ever imagine. And that is about the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. And I was just saying, I feel quite hot sitting on these seats. because the material is very it's very hot. I'm very hot-blooded, so I might get up and walk around if it's okay, you know, with the mobile mic. And I thought, this is where it all began. This is where it all began. Srila Prabhupada, he was staying in very humble dwellings in Vrindavan, preparing to come to the West, to the Western countries, to share with everyone, and to remind and to reawaken all our true natures. So it's almost like, to some extent, we've gone a 360 degrees. We've gone around, because here we are again, some 50 odd years later from when Prabhupada first was preparing to come to the West. And Vrindavan is all about love in separation. And Srila Prabhupada was always in love and separation of his Guru Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada had very, very, very little vapu. He had very, very little association, physical association, with his spiritual master. So it was the vani. And I'm seeing you all here this morning, and it's not rocket science to understand that you also didn't have the vapu, most of you. But you have vani, and I lay prostrate at your feet, everybody here, because to be able to have firm conviction and firm faith through the instructions is completely in line with how it's supposed to be. Somehow or other, this foolish person who's speaking to you right now had somehow or other creeper. That's all I can relate it to. It was pure mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master. That's all I can conclude. Even today, I live within this assumption that somehow or other, how was I chosen to do this devotional service? And I conclude, within my assumptions, even today, that it's just pure, unalloyed mercy of God and Guru. That's all. So, before I attempt to share some of this wonderful transcendental information with you all, I think it would be nice to sing the prayers to the six Goswamis. I really like the prayer to the six Goswamis. And I think it's really befitting that we can chant it here today, all together. So, is that all right? What do you think? Okay. If someone can play Madonna, right, you're ready. Good.
Nana sastra vicharinaika nipano sadhama samsapako sastra vicharinaika nipano Lokanam hitakarino tribhuvane manyo taranyakaro Radha Krishna Padara Vinda Bhajana Andena Mata Liko Pande Upasanatana Rakujago Sri Jivago Palako. Pande Upasanatana Rakujago Sri Jivago Palako. Nana Shastra Vicharina Ika Nipano Saddhama Samsapako. Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajana Pandena Mataliko. Pande Upasanatana Rakujago Sri Jivago Palako. Pande Upasanatana Rakujago Jivago Palako. Nana Shastra Vicharina Ika Nipano Saddhama Samsapako. Lokanam hitakarino sebhuvane manyataranyataro. Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajana And in a mataliko. Vande Upasanatana Rakujago Sri Jivago Palako. Pande Upasanatana Rakujago Sri Jivago Palako.
Hare Krishna. I brought a few prompts with me because Maharaj was saying, oh, where, oh, there you are. Oh, it's over there. Okay. Maharaj was saying that, that I had a good memory, but I'm 65 now, this body, so the memories don't come as fast and true as they used to. So I've got a few prompts, so just to let you know what I'm doing. So just like I was saying, this was Prabhupada's starting point. And you know, when Srila Prabhupada came on that cargo ship, it wasn't a passenger ship. It was a cargo ship. And I don't know how many of you have been on a cargo ship. Is there anyone, have you been on a cargo ship before? Crossing the ocean? It's very uncomfortable. Extremely uncomfortable, because the berths or the space is meant for cargo and not for people. And Srila Prabhupada, he came on a cargo ship. And he had two heart attacks at least on the way over. That in itself was every reason to turn back. On the verge of passing over on this very rough sea, waves 12 foot high, up and down, up and down, up and down. But he persisted due to his unflinching faith in the instructions of his spiritual master. Yeah. And what was the cargo? What was the cargo on that ship? What was Prabhupada bringing? And it may seem somewhat metaphoric, I'm talking now, metaphorically. But Srila Prabhupada's cargo was many containers of transcendental seeds. That was Prabhupada's cargo. And we have all had a seed. The cargo was opened when Srila Prabhupada reached the shore of America. And Prabhupada was a gardener. He was a transcendental gardener. And he would plant seeds. Everywhere he went, he would plant seeds. And that is why we're all here today. Because we have had the good fortune and the good grace to have had a seed planted in our hearts today. So, Prabhupada knew within the 6 years of planning, even before he was in Vrindavan, he was thinking, how can I come to the West to preach this message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? But he came. Srila Prabhupada came. And he also came back to India. And this is where this particular personal journey of mine begins. Srila Prabhupada, within all the planning and all the things that he wanted to do to establish Krishna consciousness all over the world, if you can imagine a puzzle, a huge puzzle, say with 200, 300 pieces, and it's all scrambled, it's not fitting together. So one of the big pieces of the puzzle that Srila Prabhupada, that belonged to the overall picture that he was creating for himself, was this Krishna Balaram Mandir. Prabhupada said, I heard him say personally, that even if, for whatever reason in the future, If all my centers worldwide close down, Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan and Sri Mayapur temple should stay open. Those are the two biggies for Prabhupada. His home, this is Prabhupada's home. Prabhupada is here. This is Prabhupada's home. He's eternally present. And that was Prabhupada's place of worship, Mayapur. So they are fundamentally locked into Prabhupada, that they remain open forever and ever. So what we didn't, or what I didn't realize as I came to Vrindavan, was I was tested severely. Because Prabhupada wasn't messing about. This is one area, Vrindavan. We're already under this huge microscope. Prabhupada used to say that 1 year, if you do service in Vrindavan for 1 year, 3 months, 3 days, it's like multiplying that by 100, or he may even have said 1,000, I can't remember. It's like doing 1,000 times more service in the Western world because of the nature of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is non-different from the Vrindavan in the spiritual world. It's just that we do not have the eyes to see it. Just like the sun is covered by clouds. And there may be clouds due to the materialistic desires of people from outside. And they cover Vrindavan, cloud-like, they are covering. But we should always remember, within those clouds there is the sun. Similarly, within the clouds of materialism brought by outsider people, we are covering Vrindavan, but not for the devotee. The devotee always feels. It's emotional. It's sentient. We are not impersonalists. We have feelings and emotions, and we feel Krishna. Just like Srila Prabhupada once said, and it was in Hyderabad, and Mahamsa Swami, there were a few devotees around, and we were having this conversation. And Prabhupada says, how do you know that Krishna exists? How do you know that Krishna is present? And so many replies were there, coming thick and fast. And Prabhupada was saying, neti, 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 not this one, not this one, not this one, not this one. And Mahamsa Swami, he was sort of sitting on the periphery of the group. And at a point he was, you know that feeling when you really want to say something but you're too maybe nervous, or, you know, you're too overwhelmed to maybe say what you're really feeling or thinking? So that was his position. And at a point, he just thought, I've got to say it. And because the answer wasn't coming. And then all of a sudden he said, Srila Prabhupada, when I am chanting, I can feel Krishna's presence. And Prabhupada's eyes lit up and his eyes became like saucers. And he said, that is the answer I was looking for. So it's all about the emotion and the feeling. Because Krishna is a person, just like us. He has personality. The only reason why we have personality is because Krishna has one. So building this temple was no mean feat. Just like there was a resident sannyasi. This was maybe 6 months in from arriving in Vrindavan. And initially this sannyasi, Godbrother, he was put in charge of the construction of the temple. And he kind of was, he had a personality, he had characteristics where He was more like a Bhajananandi type of sannyasi. He would like to sit and chant. That's what he'd like to do, rather than travel and preach. And so Prabhupada put him in charge in Vrindavan of dealing with contractors and arranging construction materials and all kinds of seemingly mundane activities. So at this particular time, Srila Prabhupada had arrived for the Nectar of Devotion classes. And there was a series of lectures. And this particular sannyasi Gaurabhad, he was saying, "Oh, I can't wait for Srila Prabhupada to start talking about the intimate pastimes of Radharani." Because if you go right to the back of the Nectar of Devotion, it is wonderfully described by Srila Prabhupada about the characteristics and nature of Srimati Radharani. So he was thinking that Prabhupada is just going to open the floodgates and start talking about Radharani. But Prabhupada never left the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the analytical study of Sankhya philosophy. He never left the second chapter. It was funny because I was watching this sannyasi's face and he was starting to sort of nod off and he was thinking, "Oh, God." So it affected him so much that he couldn't sleep one evening. And he got up and he showered. It was about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. And he went to see Srila Prabhupada, who was staying at the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan. He had a beautiful little room there. So he burst in on Prabhupada. Prabhupada was translating. He was busy translating. And Srila Prabhupada says, "What do you want? How come you have come so early in the morning to see me?" He said, "Srila Prabhupada, please excuse me. Something is on my mind. I have to tell you about it." So Srila Prabhupada said, "So, you tell me." And he said, "Srila Prabhupada, I'm sitting over on the land. You've given me this instruction to be in charge of the temple. And my mind is so agitated. I have to write out these checks to the contractors. I have to make sure people are not cheating. I have to direct people according to different types of works. And I have to keep accounts." And he says, "My mind has become so upset and agitated. I cannot think of Radharani. I cannot think of chanting my japa. My japa has become totally disrupted." So Srila Prabhupada looked at him and he said, "When Krishna drove Arjuna's chariot in the middle of the two armies..." Now can you imagine? If you read Srimad Bhagavatam, I think it's the first canto, third... I can't remember, it's the second or third canto. And Srila Prabhupada in one purport describes the battle of Kurukshetra. There were 640 million people, soldiers died. It was the biggest battle since 6,000 years. Many hundreds of thousands of soldiers. They couldn't even be found because of all the mystical weapons that were being used. So Srila Prabhupada says to our godbrother, he said, "So when Krishna drove the chariot in between these huge, massive armies ready to do war, Krishna was looking on the other side and he was looking at all his friends and family members, and can you imagine being in that position where you have to kill your own family and friends because they've taken allegiance with another side?" So Srila Prabhupada said, "Do you think that Arjuna was sitting in his chariot in lotus position meditating on Krishna?" He gave that example. And our sannyasi Gaurabhada says, "No, Srila Prabhupada." So Srila Prabhupada said, "What was he doing? Rather than sitting meditating like you have just been describing, sitting, meditating on Radharani. What do you think Arjuna was doing in his chariot? And he couldn't reply. So Prabhupada said, instead of sitting in lotus position, meditating on Krishna's lotus feet, he was killing for Krishna. You are worried about checks. You are worried about such insignificant things as to checking some material that comes in off a truck, or trying to make sure that whatever work is going on is done nicely. I'm not asking you to kill. I'm asking you to just simply check some things. So that becomes so, it was like an arrow going into his heart. He became really... So Prabhupada was making the point that whatever service we have, that is given to you by Guru, that is the meditation, that is the yoga by which we can link. So, in Vrindavan, there were many, many things to do, and very, very little time to do it. Very little time. So, we were under, I've already explained about Vrindavan being magnified. Now imagine Prabhupada coming, and then, as I've explained before, he has two very distinct characteristics to his personality. Prabhupada would be the wonderful soft red rose that was very kind and gentle to everybody, and he could exhibit that quality at the flick of his, like that. Or, if he was determined to complete the puzzle that I've just described a little earlier, then there has to be another mood. And that mood was the thunderbolt, like Indra. Boom. So Prabhupada, when he came to Vrindavan, we had a double whammy, as they say in the West. We had the intensity of working in Vrindavan, and we had the intensity of Prabhupada's thunderbolt. And Srila Prabhupada would say, I will not exhibit my thunderbolt if I don't think that you can handle it. And believe me, many times I wanted to run away, honestly. It was so intense, it was so difficult. But there was a learning. And if I look back now in retrospect, I look back and I think, I am so happy and I'm so fortunate, I'm so glad that I tolerated Srila Prabhupada's thunderbolt. Because at the end of the day, as imperfect as it may seem sometimes, we have this beautiful temple. And we are all here today, together, enjoying the fruits of that manifestation. Isn't it? What better thing, and I'm sure everyone will agree here today, what better thing is there to sit here in this beautiful courtyard, seeing Krishna, Balaram, Radha, Samsunda, and Gornetai? Who could want us to be in a different place? So it was worth tolerating all those things. It was worth tolerating. Now, Kishori, just a sec. Kishoria, she's very anxious. I got to keep her down. She's raring to go. Kishori is directing me. She's the producer and director of this show. You're supposed to laugh. That's it. Look, before we start, this is how it's going to pan out right now. I'm going to just share with you a few little short stories, okay? Then I'm going to hand over to Kishori. Kishori, she has memorized, honestly, and she goes like this, don't you? They're locked in her heart. And she doesn't have prompts like me, she just goes like that. She turns the button on. And according to Kishori, she has 150 stories. I've got a meager 54 stories, but she's got three times more stories than I have. So you can imagine being anxious to share with you. So let me just go through a few short stories. I've already said a few, but this is a funny story, because during those Nectar of Devotion classes, devotees were coming from all over the world, and devotees in those days, they weren't so much fussed about etiquette and protocol. It was all about how can I absorb as much transcendence as possible, including eating prasadam. That was a huge biggie. How can I eat as much prasadam as I can when I'm in Vrindavan? So at the end of each lecture, Prabhupada's disciples would run out and fill Loy Bazaar, all the saffron and, you know, all on the benches of the sweet shops, drinking that sort of buffalo milk, calf, water type stuff that they make out there, and eating sweets and different savories. So one day Srila Prabhupada, just before he started his lecture, everyone come in this particular day. And I'd been in Vrindavan now for about 1 year, so I was kind of used to certain etiquettes and protocols around how Brijvasis view or visualize us as white sadhus coming into Vrindavan. So Prabhupada said, he said, before I start lecturing this evening, I just want to inform you that you won't find Krishna loitering in Loy Bazaar. And it went over pretty much everyone's head. You know, all my god brothers and sisters that were there, they didn't really get it. So I'm sitting on the side, and I, as soon as Prabhupada said that, I started laughing. And I realized I was laughing too loudly. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada looked over like that. And I thought, I hope I haven't done anything to displease Prabhupada. I was just enjoying the joke that he was making. But anyway, Srila Prabhupada was very kind, and he just looked at me and sort of, I think he was happy that I validated what he was saying as a joke. He said, well, at least someone's got the joke anyway. So that was another short story. When Srila Prabhupada's house was first opened, it wasn't complete, but at least we managed to get it ready for Srila Prabhupada to come for the first time. And Prabhupada arrived one winter's morning. Beautiful, the sun was just shining, but it was cold, it was chilly. And Srila Prabhupada had this beautiful white cardigan. Remember that cardigan? If you see the photographs and the images of the San Francisco Rath Yatra some time back, Prabhupada had this beautiful white cardigan, fluffy cardigan. So that's what he was wearing when he first came this particular morning. And he came into his room, and we didn't even have the floor laid properly with concrete. It was still, we filled up the gap with a lot of Raman Reti sand and mud. We covered it with durries and sheets. You know, there was about that much layers on top of the covering. But it looked beautiful. It was all white, and it was lovely. And Srila Prabhupada came in, and Sarabi, who is here just recently, this week, he decided to construct a European fireplace in Srila Prabhupada's quarters. If you go in the quarters, you see the fireplace in black sandstone, what is it? material, some material, whatever it is. Yeah. So he thought, oh, let's light the fire for Prabhupada. We'll put some wood in the fireplace and we'll light up the fire. So we start lighting up this fire. You were there, right? And all of a sudden, it was a beautiful, it was a really good visual, seeing this fire and this wood, and it was sparking and the flames were really high. But then all of a sudden, within, I'd say, 2 minutes of having lit that fire, all of a sudden appeared hundreds and thousands of flies. So Srila Prabhupada says that at a certain time of the year, when it gets very hot, that flies take birth a lot more than they would normally in the winter. So because of that extra heat that was generated from the fire, because there's three different ways living entities take birth in this world. There's the womb of the mother, there's the egg, and there's sweat. And Prabhupada says that flies, most species of flies, they take birth through sweat. So this generated an incredible humidity. Anyway, thousands of flies were flying everywhere in the house. And even though Prabhupada was so inconvenienced, he didn't get upset at all. He was just trying to appreciate the fact that we were trying to please him. Anyway, the flies, we managed to eventually get all the flies out of the house. And we had this incredible kirtan. It lasted only for about 20 minutes, but it was full of love and you know, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful reciprocation. Prabhupada was closing his eyes and you could see that he was really, really absorbed in that interaction. Anyway, so it was time for everyone to leave the house. And pretty much most of the devotees were out of the house. And there was this one English devotee, and he was very tall. He had a big blonde seeker. And his name was Charanaravindam. And Srila Prabhupada said, okay, someone sweep up this mess, all this dirt. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, that's not mess. That's not dirt. That's the dust from all the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas that have just been dancing in kirtan in your room. So we were thinking, oh my God. How's Srila Prabhupada going to respond to that? Can you imagine, you know? So Prabhupada said, Jesse, I'm thinking it's mess and dirt, and he's got the vision that it's the dust from the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. Just see his vision and just see my vision. And then he repeated it 3 times. We're all standing there, stunned. Anyway, he says, clean up this mess and dirt.
And what I remember is that what I remember is that when Charanaravindam says that, I feel pain, because before Srila Prabhupada said that, he joined his hand like this, and he went, oh, I don't know these things, I'm not a devotee. And I felt so much pain to see my spiritual master doing that. And then he told what you said.
See, it's good that we have we bounce off one another. You sure you will remember things that I've forgotten? And
can I?
Yeah, sure, take that.
So I will complete that Shemini story. Actually, it was my idea to make a Shemini. My grandfather was a great decorator in France, and he was the king of the Shemini. So I was telling Shorabi, you can't make Srila Prabhupada's room without cheminée. And he didn't want. He said, it's not useful in Vrindavan. And I told him that, yeah, we will make fire and we will be sitting when it's a darshan in the winter and it is cold. So after pushing him, he made this big cheminée. And the first thing when Srila Prabhupada came in the room, I think he was there. Surabhi was there, I was behind Surabhi. And he went. Srila Prabhupada said, oh, Surabhi, you have put my kitchen in the darshan. So I start to feel not so good. And then I push Surabhi behind, tell him. So then Surabhi said, yes, Srila Prabhupada, in the winter, it will be so sweet. We make fire, you will feel warm. Srila Prabhupada was very serious. He sat down, he looked at Surabhi and he said, Vaishnav never burn wood to keep warm. They wear a cheda.
Correct. Oh, a sweater.
A shawl.
Yeah.
A shawl. Then Surabhi turned to me, I saw his eyes was going to kill me. I ran away.
Okay, can you hear me now? Oh, right. When you talk, you've got to talk right into the mic. You have to talk into the microphone. Yeah, right here. Just leave it here in front of your mouth. Yeah, like eating it. Like that. Okay. Yeah, this is a very loving story I'm going to share with you now. And again, it's another sannyasi godbrother, very wonderful sannyasi godbrother, Trivikram Maharaj. And he was also one of the first sannyasis that was initiated by Srila Prabhupada, and he's wonderful. I think does he come very often to Vrindavan? No? Okay. Anyway, very nice person.
What
is his name? Trivikram. Yeah. Haribol. How are you?
Well, like you said, where else would it should we be?
That's right. Especially sitting down in these comfortable chairs. Okay. Now then. During the construction of the temple, we had three simultaneous projects being built. We had the temple, we had the guest house, and what else was it? Something else. Oh, sorry, of course, Srila Prabhupada's house. So when Srila Prabhupada was visiting Vrindavan, and his house wasn't ready,
that's all right.
We went towards the back of the project. We sat, you can imagine, the ground floor of the guest house before all the divisions of the rooms came into being. There was big open spaces just in the reception room of the guest house back there. And what happened was, We would have Bhagavad Gita class religiously every day, anyway, even when Srila Prabhupada wasn't here. So it was early evening, about 6 o'clock, and there was about 10 of us present. And it was time to give class, and usually Srila Prabhupada gave class, although sometimes, very surprisingly, Prabhupada would maybe read the purport or read the translation and then ask you to give the class. Now, can you imagine giving class in front of Prabhupada was a very, very demanding, very, very challenging thing to do, okay? So we were all thinking, oh, I hope it's not me that Srila Prabhupada is going to pick You know, because even though we were working very hard and spending incredible amounts of hours building the temple, we never had any proper temple-regulated life, because there are many temples for one to do that now. But if you can imagine, in those very early pioneering days, there was no temple. You were making the temple. So it was important also that you still had a certain philosophical level that Prabhupada liked. And Prabhupada said, regardless of how hard you're working, you still have to read my books. So he would come periodically to Vrindavan and test us by us having to give class, you know. So this one particular evening, Srila Prabhupada asked Trivikram Swami to give class, and I thought, oh, that's, at least I didn't get chosen, you know. So Trivikram Maharaj, he read the translation and he read the purport, and he said his prayers to Prabhupada, and then from the beginning until the very end, which was about 25 minutes, he stumbled and he was fragmented, and somehow or other he could not hardly string a sentence together about the purport and about the actual verse that we were reading. And honestly, my heart went out to him like huge, big time. Because can you imagine, you're sitting in front of your spiritual master and you're trying to give a nice class, and somehow or other it just doesn't happen. And it's all fragmented, and then you become very self-conscious, your mouth dries up, and all kinds of things happen. And you could see it was happening to poor Trivikram Maharaj, and we all wanted to just go over and give him a big hug, because no one likes to see a devotee in distress in any way. So we thought, well, we'll just sit here and let's see what happens. So right at the end of Trivik Maharaj's presentation, he then said, does anyone have any questions? And there was a silence, you know. It seemed that silence seems to go on for like many, many minutes. And then eventually he said, okay, Hare Krishna. And then he paid his obeisances. He stood up. Prabhupada got off his Vyasasan. He walked over to Trivikram Maharaj and gave him the biggest hug you can't believe. And he says, and Prabhupada said to him, that was a wonderful class. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. And that was Prabhupada's compassion. Because Prabhupada could see the heart of his disciple. He was sincerely trying to talk, and I'm sure Prabhupada has heard him talk other times. But in this particular context, in this particular time, it just didn't come out, but he was sincerely trying. And who knows why these things happen? Maybe it's Krishna, whatever. So that was Prabhupada's response. So loving and so wonderful. That was Srila Prabhupada. That was the warm, father-like characteristic of Srila Prabhupada. Would you like to say, because... Oh, okay, well, if you don't mind, I'm just going to go through my prompting list to pick out another one. Right, this is a really funny story. This is really a funny one. Something that we can never repeat ourselves. Meaning, we can't do this of our own volition, of our own will. This only Srila Prabhupada could do this, okay? When we first opened the temple, 1975, I think it was the following summer, 1976, and it was in the mid of the summer. It was very hot and very quiet and very sultry. And it was a 4 o'clock Artik, and we went to Artik, and then we were just, Prabhupada came sitting in the courtyard. But there weren't many people coming like they come today. So there was a devotee, Yasomati Nandan, who's in which part of Ahmedabad, Gujarat, yeah, okay. And he called him. Now, along in that summertime, in the Raman Reti ashrams here, a very famous Srimad Bhagavatam reciter came. And it was what you call a Bhagavat Sapta. It was being, this particular person was renowned, Swami so-and-so, so-and-so, some big Swami from another part of the country came to give 7 days of reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. And there was a very big audience at this ashram. And Srila Prabhupada called Yasomati Nandan and he said, I want you to go over there and speak to the people concerned and try to get that Swamiji to give his Bhagavat Sapta here in the temple. Now that is, having a Mayavadi sannyasi giving for a week to reciting Srimad Bhagavatam in the temple here in front of, you know, Krishna Balaram would seem a completely, something that it would be impossible to think that could happen. But Srila Prabhupada was absolutely serious about this. So Yasomati Nandan was very surprised to hear that Prabhupada wanted to do such a thing. And he said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, are you sure? Are you sure that you want me to go and ask to bring this Mayavadi sannyasi here to give talks on Srimad Bhagavatam? And Prabhupada says, yes, why not? So then Yasomati Nandan said, but why are you doing this, Srila Prabhupada? And Srila Prabhupada says, so if he's lecturing here, then there will be many people to come to listen. So many people will come through the temple and have a beautiful darshan of Krishna Balaram and Radha Samsundar and Gaur-Nitai. And they will develop an attachment. Who is coming at the moment? Not many people. How many people are over there? Even though they're listening to nonsensical philosophy, still, if they're here, many people will know of our temple and come and visit regularly. So that's one of the things that Srila Prabhupada did. That's to the length that he would go to try to influence people coming into the temple here in Vrindavan. But it only happened once. And when Yasomati Nandan went to talk to the authorities that were organizing that particular thing, the sannyasi refused anyway. He didn't come. So maybe that was a good thing. But Prabhupada wanted him to come. So that was another story. So don't you try getting impersonal sannyasis to come to your temples, okay? Only Prabhupada could do with such a thing. And Satyanarayan, he gave a very wonderful description of George Harrison and Ravi Shankar coming to the house. That was one of the most memorable stories of George Harrison and Ravi Shankar coming to the house. It was Bhakti Siddhanta's disappearance day, and there were a lot of big guns in the room in those days. There was Guru Kripa, Gargamuni, Brahmananda, Achyutananda, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you know. And Guru Das come bursting in the room and he said, George Harrison and Ravi Shankar are here. Anyway, you've heard the story already, but what I wanted to just describe was when George Harrison entered into the house, into the room, he had this really wonderful fitted tweed sports jacket and very white, whiter than white, crisp yogi pants. And to complement the tweed jacket and the pants, he had this huge white bead bag. And he had long, long black hair. And Srila Prabhupada said that George Harrison in his last life was a demigod that lived in the heavenly planets, because for some reason his Krishna consciousness wasn't completed. And he went to the heavenly planets to enjoy. So as a result, he came back down to this earth planet with all that opulence. He was a very good looking man, and he was a very wealthy man, and he had a lot of fame. Those are just three of the opulences of Bhagavan: fame, looks, opulence. So Prabhupada put aside the Bhaktisiddhanta lecture to focus on George Harrison and Ravi Shankar. And there was one poignant question that Prabhupada asked. He looked George Harrison in the eyes and said to him, "Now you are George Harrison. Now you have this identity of being George Harrison. But how long will you be George Harrison? So while you are George Harrison, you have millions of people all over the world that follow you. They worship you. They listen to your music. So please make them Krishna conscious." And just like Satyanarayan was saying earlier, Ravi Shankar was of a different nature. Ravi Shankar was like a guru in his own right, wasn't he? He was a musical guru. He played sitar, classical sitar, music. He was renowned all over the world. So Prabhupada looked him in the eyes, and he said, "And you, Ravi Shankar," and the same message, "all over the world you have followers, but how long will you be Ravi Shankar?" And I noticed his face, he was like, you know, he was a bit anyway. Go on.
In Bury Place, in London, while Srila Prabhupada was doing class, he spoke about George Harrison, and he said he's doing more service than you are all doing together, because everyone was chanting after him.
That's okay. I wanted to tell you another funny story, and this happened in Bombay, but it was totally in relationship. That's all right. Yeah, you can leave it there. It was totally in relationship with this construction work. I'm just going to stand up for a bit because it's getting very hot on the seat. And what I wanted to say was, We all had to get money all the time. We needed funds to carry on the building of this temple. So this particular time, Sorabi and I, we made a very comprehensive list of all the things that we needed money for. But when we arrived in Bombay, there were the Mayapur crew. And the Mayapur crew, we were always in transcendental competition with one another. So you had Gargamuni, Bhavananda, Achyutananda, Tamal Krishna. It was always this group of very powerful individuals. And they were in the room trying to convince Prabhupada in Bombay to give them money for the Mayapur construction project. And Sarabi and I were sitting outside, listening, because they're loud. You could hear through the door. And Prabhupada was refuting. And they eventually came out of the room with nothing. They didn't have anything. They come all this way from Mayapur to Bombay. So we thought, oh, what chance have we got? There's only Gurudas, there's Kishori, there was Yamuna, there was myself. We were the crew in Vrindavan. We were softer. We were, you know, we weren't so heavy, you know. We thought, well, let's see what we can do. So we go in, and Sarabi was very good at presenting. He was the architect, he was the designer, and the overseer of this whole project. So, one by one, and that's what Srila Prabhupada liked. He liked that you could explain yourself properly. So if you have a request, then you should back it up with the reasons why you want that request. Okay? And you always had to, as much as possible, be confident in the way you projected yourself to Srila Prabhupada. If you were like down like this, mumble, bumble, bumble, oh, someone else speak for him. Yeah. So, we ended up getting just a little tad short of what we asked for. We were asking for 2.5 lakhs of rupees. Prabhupada gave us 2 lakhs of rupees. So we were a little short, but we had a that was good. 2 lakhs in those days was a lot of money. So Prabhupada said, you come back tomorrow and I'll have a bank draft waiting for you. And then you can take the bank draft to Vrindavan and deposit it in the bank. So we went back next morning. Now, we're going to go interactive with this little, because it's interesting. Okay? I need a devotee to come forward and share with me this little skit that we're going to do. Who's ready to come up and work with me on this?
Right, here we go.
All right, so this is representing the draft, okay? Now then, let's sit down on these seats, right? You sit here, I'll sit here. So, Srila Prabhupada had this draft, and a draft, more or less, that's about the shape of it, maybe a little broader. So, we were sitting in front of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada had the draft on the corner like that, in between 2 fingers. So he said, now then, you catch the opposite corner, okay? Yeah, that's it. So Srila Prabhupada said, so here is your draft. Now, slowly start tugging the corner a little bit, right? So Sarabi's tugging it like that, and Prabhupada's not letting go. Okay? And Srila Prabhupada said, how much does it cost to go by rickshaw from the Vrindavan temple to the Punjab National Bank and back again? As a poll, me sending this registered post from Bombay to the bank. So the difference between going by rickshaw and sending the draft by registered post was 50 paisa, half a rupee. So you start tugging it again now. So Abhi, because imagine, we needed money desperately, and here's 2 lakhs of rupees here in his draft, right? So Sarabi's tugging it like that, so tug it, and then Prabhupada's tugging it back like that, and he went like that. And he said, I'll send it registered post. So that's what happened. So it was, you know, there's a saying, many a cup. What is it? Yeah, many a twist between a slip between cup and lip, right? So that was almost like a representation of that saying, where we're almost there, we got it, and it just slipped away, like dribbled down your front. It's like a drop of water, instead of going in your mouth, it dribbles down the front of your shirt. So that's what happened, the draft like that. Anyway, we got the money. We got the money eventually.
Okay, thanks for that.
All right. I'm going to tell you, now this is Panchagora. He's got a motorbike. I had a motorbike also. I had a motorbike before he had a motorbike. But we found out that it was exactly the same motorbike. It was a Bullet, Triumph. An Enfield Bullet. Because when I first came here, just a couple of weeks ago, he told me, oh, I'm going to go for a ride on my motorbike. And I said, oh, what kind of a motorbike have you got? He says, oh, I've got a Bullet. I said, oh, I used to have a Bullet also. So I'm going to tell you a story now about this motorbike, which it was very daring of me to purchase at that time. Because in Mayapur, they also purchased a motorbike, and Prabhupada didn't like it, and he told them to send it back and get a refund. But this side, with our work here in Vrindavan, we needed to go to Mathura many, many times. And it was so time-consuming going by rickshaw or tanga. So we decided to purchase a motorbike. So we were wondering if there's different circumstances, but we felt that it was justified that we purchased the bike. So Srila Prabhupada was due to come this day. And what I did, I went out and I had a person on the back of the bike with me. And we went out to wait on the corner of the Delhi Agra Road, the Chitakara Road at that time, to wait for Srila Prabhupada's car to come. And I kept the bike running because it didn't have an electrical start at that time. It was a kickstart. And it wasn't easy to kickstart this motorbike. But anyway, I stalled the bike just as Srila Prabhupada's car is coming. And I'm on the side of the road trying to kickstart. And Prabhupada's car just whizzed by. And then by the time I eventually kickstarted the bike, got on it, and caught up to the car, it was almost time to turn into Chitakara Road. So I'm going as, I got the throttle full blast, you know. And I managed to pass Prabhupada's car. And Prabhupada's sitting in the back and he looks like that out the window. And I'm going like this. And all the cloth's blowing up and he's looking. And Prabhupada said it to Mal Krishna, who is that? And he says, oh, it's Gunanava, Srila Prabhupada. He's going back to the temple very quickly to make sure that there's a nice reception for us, for you, when we get to the temple. Anyway, I thought, oh, Prabhupada's going to really get on my case. He's really going to chastise me. So, but I thought, let me explain. Let me tell him the reasons why. So I was waiting and waiting and waiting. 3 days had passed. He's still there. Hadn't. One morning, it was about 7 o'clock in the morning, Srila Prabhupada called me to his room. And it was drizzling with rain. It wasn't heavy, but it was just drizzling. Srila Prabhupada called me in, and I went in, I paid my obeisances, and he said, I want you to go to Radha Ballabha Temple this morning. He says, I want you to go and pick up my godbrother, Govardhan Das. And Govardhan Das was a very tall, broad sadhu. He had a huge gray beard and long gray hair. But he was very expert at playing madunga. And Prabhupada wanted to see him. So he says, I want you to go and pick up Govardhan. And then there was silence. And Prabhupada said to me, so will you take the bike? Right? And I was thinking, great, you know, this is fantastic. Prabhupada's validated. He's validated. that I can have the bike. So I said, oh, Srila Prabhupada, it's a bit wet outside. I said, I think maybe it'd be a bit dangerous to take the motorbike. I'll bring him by rickshaw. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, that is all right. And then as I'm going out of the room, Srila Prabhupada said, so why did you buy that bike anyway?
You can't get away with anything, you know, that's Prabhupada. But then I explained to Prabhupada, I don't know what happened in Mayapur, but I explained to Prabhupada the reasons why we really needed that bike. And he seemed to be fine with it. It was good, so we kept that bike. And I'm going to have a ride on his bike tomorrow, maybe. All right. Anyway, that's another story. So would you like to say...
While he is looking for more story about Lakshmi, Srila Prabhupada, if you remember, told us not to take a rickshaw because it costs 25 paisa and our legs are free. So we could not take rickshaw to go to bazaar or where. You remember?
Yeah.
And at that time, we got a budget. It was 2 or 3 rupees by person.
What, to go to the...
To be living, we had a budget, and it was 2 or 3 rupees a day by devotee. You remember? Yeah. And 1 glass of milk. Actually, 1/2 glass of milk and 1 glass for my little daughter. And Prabhupada was saying about the rickshaw, 25 paisa. He said, this is public money. Okay.
This is, I'll just sit here with you for a while. This is, I agree with this note, and thank you very much who's ever written it. We're going to hear Kishori. There's only 20 minutes before Abhishek, apparently. And I have hogged the microphone, I must admit. But
I could speak tomorrow.
Yeah. Well,
I can speak tomorrow because it's so nice what you are saying. I am staying...
Who wrote the note? Okay. I'm happy to hear. Okay. They won't be here. Thank you for
me. So you will tell me that?
Yeah. Okay.
Don't you... Well, I thank you to help me in my service to Srila Prabhupada, and thank you very much, although I don't deserve it. So, these devotees, Gunanava, Surabhi, they work so hard. I mean, Surabhi and him, one is from England, one is from the Netherlands, where there is no sun, practically. And they was under the sun for some time. They would work so hard, like 16 hours, 17 hours a day. Whatever it was, raining, scorching heat, they would do. And what I remember the most is that Srila Prabhupada
was their boss, and they got employed without salary, and they would never have complained to him, nothing. They would never put one problem of their own, either they were sick, either they had a family problem, never. And Prabhupada was very much enjoying and appreciating this. And we had practically no electricity. When it was, we had water, we was very, very hot when we want to take bath. No, anyway, everything was reversed. No electricity, no sweet water. The first well they constructed, it was, we was very deceived. It was salty water. And these devotees was incredible, because when we was here, it was grass, snakes, scorpions, that's all, and beautiful peacocks. And also nice little kirtan going on. That's all it was there. And so much trouble to get cement, to get whatever material they want to have. There was a lack of material. And they would put things inside also. Sand into the cement. And if we wanted to get anything for eating also, we could not get flour or ground, they will be putting something in it. And we had no toilets. We had to go in the field. And it was very scary because the dogs were there. Very skinny dogs. Even today the dogs are fatty. Huh? And the big hogs, frightening. And you remember when there was a cobra at the class going over Surabhi? Because Surabhi was giving a class. And fortunately, my mind was somewhere else. Because Gunnar Nava suddenly was saying, "Don't move, Surabhi. Just don't move. If I had just heard that, Surabhi would have been dead, because I would have been screaming." And actually a snake, a cobra, had come down and go over, because we had little huts only. So Surabhi had been bitten by a scorpion. We had so incredible. Yesterday I was looking at the temple, and it's like a manifestation, because he never had been what was your position actually? You just
look, she's talking, I want you to talk about Prabhupada.
No, but
I'm feeling embarrassed now.
Still.
Because I've got a beautiful story to tell about Kishori. But anyway, go on.
Yeah. So he had never had a position like this. And Surabhi, he was dreaming in Kuwait to design palaces for the Sheikhs and become very rich. And I was telling him at that time, "No, we go to India. They are very rich." And he was saying, "No, you are crazy. They have nothing to eat." So we went to India. And actually we almost came to Vrindavan. One kind of sadhu from Australia told us, "Go to Vrindavan. It's 5,000 temple there." It was 1966. But we did not come. By Krishna's mercy, we certainly had made many offenses. And Srila Prabhupada was already waiting for us in the West. So, and after that, he made this temple. So, myself, when I arrived to Vrindavan, it was like a fairy tale. Yamuna was, the Yamuna was there, the Samadhis of the Goswamis, and I came and stayed at Radha Damodar temple. I could not believe it, but actually Yamuna was there taking care of Prabhupada. And actually in the West, I had two thoughts. It was very strong. I didn't want to be initiated by letters. I thought I want Srila Prabhupada to initiate me. And it was like, I was feeling like I had a big gift. And it would be that I would be very close to Srila Prabhupada. But in the other world, of the mind and everything, I could not even, I swept away this feeling, because I thought, no, that can never happen to me. I am nothing, I'm a street girl or something like that. So when I came to Vrindavan, again was Yamuna. She was pure devotee for me. And she was so perfectionist in the service to Srila Prabhupada. We was very opposite. I think I said that already, but we made the bed for Srila Prabhupada, and she would tie the sheets with pins under. And that was terrible for me. How can she put pins in Prabhupada's bed? So we had different opinions. But she would say, no, I don't want Prabhupada to have pleats and hurt him. So she had so much devotion to Srila Prabhupada. And when she left Vrindavan, I make it short, to come to my personal service to Srila Prabhupada, then Srila Prabhupada told Satswaroop Goswami, after some a gap, Kishore, actually, she can take care of me. She's a very good cook. So I actually remember that in Amsterdam, when he was coming, I had cooked a breakfast for him, and I was cooking for hundreds and hundreds of hippies, and he had so said, continue to do that. He was patting me in my head. Continue to do this, but don't give too much philosophy, because they are very intoxicated and they can be aggressive to you. So it was so warm I always understood that Srila Prabhupada's first concern was earth, his disciples. He didn't want we are in danger. He was very, very concerned about earth. So that was very, made you very secure. So then he was remembering certain diseases, and I had given just some samosa to him in the manor. But I noticed that Srila Prabhupada, when he needed, he had great, great memories of whatever service you did for him. And he will also sometimes tell you things who will pacify you completely. After sometimes scolding you, he will always give you sweet. Actually, that's what happened to me all the time. So I started to come into Srila Prabhupada's service. So I don't know which story to tell you. I have some favorite story, which I say many times, but some devotees told me when we hear that, it's like fresh always. So I don't know which one. Potato story?
Let me tell you, on Kishori's behalf, a beautiful story about Kishori and Prabhupada. It's not about me, it's not about anyone else, it's about Kishori. Prabhupada loved kachoris, right? And there was nobody, honestly, nobody could make the kachoris the way Kishori made them. So when Prabhupada came to Vrindavan and he wanted to eat kachoris, he wasn't really allowed by the doctor to eat fried food. But Prabhupada sometimes exhibited naughty behavior. Prabhupada would be naughty and do things that he wasn't supposed to do. So he called Kishori for Kishori to make a choice. Now you take it from here. You remember. You remember when you cooked with kachoris for Prabhupada. Otherwise.
Say it, I will say something else.
Srila Prabhupada demanded that Kishori make kachoris. So when she came with the kachoris, Prabhupada wasn't satisfied just for one or even two, because they were so tasty. And Prabhupada ended up eating a lot more than two. I don't know how many it was, but it was a lot. And that is the nature of Kishori. Whatever she does, she does with heart. Kishori, she is all heart. Aren't you?
Sometimes I make so many mistakes with the heart, also for Prabhupada. So, like for example, I just came a little thing that when I was giving him garland, it was very hot season, and I thought, oh, Srila Prabhupada, I have to make something fresh in the garland that he will feel so cool. Then I get a big bucket of water. Yeah, I will tell you stories of the heart, but it was all mistake, like in my personal life. So I got a very big bucket of water. And when I finished the rose garland, I just soak it in water like this. Then I took it out, it was dripping. And I just went little like this, and I came to Srila Prabhupada and I gave him around his neck. I was very lucky at that time, because Hari saw it. He was so tired, he was doing a lot of service. So at the time of afternoon, when I gave the fruit juice, chandan, I will pray, while coming to Prabhupada's room, I will pray, oh, Krishna, please do that Harisori is snoring, and he doesn't want to hear me. And he said, go, and do it yourself. About the chandan. So that day, he said, go. So, because he will put the chandan. So I gave the fruit juice, the fruit to Srila Prabhupada, and I put his chandan with a rose. I could not believe it, that I was touching Srila Prabhupada's forehead. And then I put the garland, and I noticed immediately the shirt was wet, and I said, wow, that's great. He's going to feel very cool. So Srila Prabhupada bear that day, second day, third day, without saying anything. But then the fourth day, he told me, but Kishori, why are you giving me a shower when you give me my garland? But I just say, okay, Srila Prabhupada, I will not do it, because I had so many other stories that I knew. If I will answer back, it will be argument. So, you want a story sweet, or when he scolded me very loud? But it was very nice also.
well, show you that my heart is not all right. Okay. So, never in the right place. Menemkin? Yeah. That one? That one? You sure? Okay, but they maybe hear it already. It's okay. Okay. So, the thing that I realized a few months ago, because when everything went a little wrong, I locked up myself, and well, in France. And then I had the storage of memories, and like Nanava was telling, every evening for more than 35 years, I will rest after working so hard for the children, for the family, not getting any good thing. In the evening, I saw this like, I found out like I had a television here, something. I never watch television. I don't know how to turn the buttons even. I don't do internet, like that. So I thought, wow, that's natural television for me. So I was like turning a button and shoes. What story? Then I will go to Vrindavan and Srila Prabhupada will be there, but just like real. And then I will leave that completely. And then I was happy after a very hard day, so many problems and everything. So that's why I keep this with so many details. I can see Prabhupada's face, I can see everything, his effusions, everything. So I, only a few months back, I find out that I was doing Srila Prabhupada breakfast. Then I was doing Prabhupada midday. Then, and running in and out with hot chapatis. After Bagaji was also doing chapati. Then, 1 o'clock, or 3 o'clock, I don't remember, doesn't matter, for the fruit juice and the chandal. Then, we had a nice darshan, the sweetest darshan, construction in Srila Prabhupada, where he would speak about himself when he was young. You remember that love story with a girl, he was saying? So then, in the evening, there was a last darshan, and that was Bagaji, Brijbasi, who was very much engaged in his service. And Prabhupada enjoyed a relationship with him as a friend, but Bagaji will know very well that Srila Prabhupada, nobody could know exactly who Srila Prabhupada was. We cannot even understand a bit, but if you understand a bit, it's all right. So he will always, Bagaji will always tell me, but Prabhupada is something else. So Srila Prabhupada was receiving him every evening, and I will go to get there. But in the afternoon also, in the afternoon, we don't say that I could stay there, but after cleaning, I will sit down in his room. And it was like I was always afraid. He told me, what you are doing here? Go. He never told me. I was like feeling going in the wall. So he don't see me. So one evening of this beautiful evening in Vrindavan, with no cars, no big music, only ting, 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 chartas, day and night, and peacocks had gone to sleep already, and we came in the room, and so she offered her obeisances, and Srila Prabhupada started to speak with Bagaji. I went to do the milk, I gave him the milk. I don't know what I gave him that night. Sometimes it was an apple, sometimes whatever he asked me. If he don't ask me, it was a fruit. Because Srila Prabhupada told me, you never drink hot milk without eating anything. Hot milk should be always taken with something along. So, Srila Prabhupada drink his milk, we were sitting nicely. Then Srila Prabhupada turned to me and he said, "Kishore, do you know how to make namkins?" "Oh yes, Srila Prabhupada, I know. But I didn't know. I lie." "Why?" "Because you see, when Srila Prabhupada was coming, all the world would stop around me. And it was just between Srila Prabhupada and me, and between the walls of that house. Nobody really knew what was happening. The whole world was stopping. So the other thing, I remember a few. But this, it was something going on there that you were actually... I don't like to think like this. I like better to think, oh, Prabhupada loved me so much, and like this. But I really, with my a bit of reason, it may be that Srila Prabhupada kept me with him, so busy, gave me so much love, and he showed it to me. Many things I could tell you that he did, because he wanted me to not bug Saravi, you know, and distract him from doing his service for the construction. So I like to think like this, although I don't like, and because like this I can glorify Saravi and thank him in my heart to have given me such a close association with Srila Prabhupada. And this is better than to think Prabhupada loved me so much.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We can continue on. We apologize. One more story and then we're having the Abhishek.
Okay. So, I will make it a little short. I can continue?
Okay.
So Srila Prabhupada, she said, so,
we really apologize. We wanted to hear more nectar from both of you, but somehow we have to do this part of the program.